inequalities erode societies. We are talking here about gender inequality. Any type of inequality is bad for countries and societies to prosper.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. My name is Ravi Agrawal. I'm the managing editor of Foreign Policy magazine, and it is a great honor to welcome you all here today to a very special seminar at the IMF where we get to go one-on-one with none other than the new managing director of the IMF, Kristalina Georgieva. She is the first person from an emerging market economy to lead the IMF since its inception in 1944. Let's just have a round of applause for that.
Welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. I'm Bruce Edwards. And today we hear Kristalina Georgieva talk about the importance of gender equity in her first IMF World Bank annual meetings since becoming the managing director of the IMF.
She is also only the second woman to hold this position in the IMF's history, which is especially relevant today because we're here to discuss women, work, and leadership. And I'll just quickly go on to say that Kristalina was also before this the CEO of the World Bank, also its interim president, and she's previously had a very distinguished career, of course, at the European Commission. So let's start with your personal story, which is inspiring, you know, and in part because of the fact that you are the first person from an emerging market economy to be in this position and to have held the roles that you've had. You're the second woman. Just give us a sense of your journey, of how you got here and some of the obstacles that you've overcome.
What I represent is such a typical story of a woman of my generation. I was lucky to be educated in my country, in Bulgaria, and I stepped into the world of professionals first as an academic, and then I came to Washington and the World Bank hired me. Throughout this process, I will work harder than any man just to be equal. And I'm sure that sounds familiar. As a professor, I would take more classes. I would take the classes of my male colleagues because they are going on vacation. And I actually never complained about that, and I'm not complaining, because guess what? By working more and working harder, I kind of got better than them. And here I am. I am running the IMF. So, the moral of my story is that it does take hard work. Like many of my generation, I actually for quite some time did not believe in advocacy for gender equality. I thought we have to be gender blind. You're either good or not. Until I realized that taking this attitude will hold women back, because we are not yet at the point when we can be gender blind and then we would see men and women applying for the same position, being given equal treatment, getting up in the higher corridors of power just on that own device. And I can tell you the story that was transformative in my life, that moved me from being gender blind to being relentless and shameless activist for gender equality. I was in Vietnam. I was leading World Bank team. I was the most senior person of the bank group. And in the end of my visit, the interpreter, who was a woman, came and said, "Could you please pass a message to the president of the bank?" "Sure. What is the message?" "Could you please thank him for sending a senior woman as an example to our men?" And that was the moment that I realized that not in one single meeting I met another woman. I was the only one. And that we have a responsibility in these institutions, in the fund, at the bank, in the European Commission, to give an example that gender equality is not just a good thing to do, it is actually fantastic for getting better outcomes. So let me stop here, but before I move back to you, to recognize the woman before me that led the IMF, Christine Lagarde. She broke this glass ceiling. It was easier for me to come through, no cuts.
Excellent. Well, so let's get a little deeper into one of the things you just said, which is that gender equality and having more women in senior positions in organizations around the world, we know the moral imperative, but moral imperatives don't always move the needle. So it turns out there is also an economic imperative, and we know this in part through the work that the fund has done. So tell us a little bit about that, and as you do, how to use that data to better inform what companies and governments are doing.
Right. Well, this is one of the very best services that institutions like the IMF provide to societies, to bring the rational, evidence-based argumentation as to why moving towards gender parity is actually good for everyone. It is good for women, but it is also good for men. There is no way for any society to prosper without tapping in the talent of all its people, men and women. It's very simple. If you ignore part of your capabilities, you sure come short in terms of economic achievements. And the IMF has provided strong evidence in that regard. For example, an IMF study says Sweden can have 4% higher GDP if women participate in the workplace equal to men. Sweden, it's a country that is way ahead of many others. You go to Senegal, that doubles to 8%. We also have done research that shows that companies are more profitable when they have more women on their boards or in their management. And in fact, that profitability is quite remarkable. It is somewhere between 8 and 11% better for the company if it is to be including women. Why? Because when we have diverse teams, they make better decisions. Also, women tend to be more oriented towards the bigger public good rather than their individual achievement. Women also tend to be, on balance, less corrupt. With the caveat, there was a study, it's not done by the fund, I'm not going to sign under it, that says women are less corrupt by a long mile. But when they are corrupt, they're mucho corrupt. They're like, don't know whether this is true. But what I do know, we cannot possibly achieve the Sustainable Development Goals, get our communities and countries to be prosperous, unless we include women in the labor force, starting from education, equal access to education. By the way, a lot has been achieved in that regard. Equal access to assets, to financing, and of course, full equality in participating in the labor market. Today, still, I think it is 1.7 billion women are restricted in what jobs they can do in comparison to men because of legal obstacles in different countries. So wiping this out makes us, of course, not only more prosperous, but I would argue a happier place. The fund is now making a big mark, and it is incredible, the new research that is being done on unpaid work. Amazing data coming out of it. I wasn't aware that the amount of unpaid work, if it was to be captured by statistics, would have increased the world's GDP by 35% to 40%.
Wow. And let's just unpack this. By unpaid work, you mean taking care of children, you mean taking care of the elderly.
Fetching water.
Household chores.
Doing household chores, cooking, cleaning, washing, but also doing work that is in subsistence agriculture, getting wood for the family. All the things that don't go to the marketplace, and yet they contribute to the well-being of families, communities, and countries. And I actually, until I read this paper, I didn't realize what a serious economic issue this is. Of course, it means that it is unfair, there is unfair distribution, but that is the minor issue. The bigger issue is it is inefficient. Why? Because you would get possibly very highly skilled woman doing very low skilled work. And you allocate that across the economy, and the loss for society is just enormous. So I want to thank the people in the fund who have done this research. And then we need to, of course, translate it into recommendations to policy makers.
So let me push you on that, because you know, a theme of everything we're discussing right now is the difference between knowing that something is wrong and knowing that something is inefficient, and then realizing that that is data, that is information that can be used as an incentive to change behaviors, not just in the corporate world, but also for governments. So how then do you take that incentive, and how then do you get countries and companies to do more to get women to work?
Well, the first and foremost rule has to be that we do it respectfully, respectfully of traditions, respectfully of cultures, respectfully of men, because what we are talking about is a societal transformation that, in my humble opinion, is now irreversible. We are moving towards gender equality, and to make this change, there are two prerequisites that are hugely important. One, political will to act. Because it is not an easy thing to do, to change the way societies work. And of course, we need it from leaderships in countries. But the second prerequisite is to do the hard work to get there. It doesn't fall from the sky. It is the steps we take. If we have political will, but we don't do the hard work to underpin the rights of women, we won't have equality in our societies. And I would turn to my colleagues here in the fund. We have some work to do at home.
And it sets an example as well. And I'm guessing by equality you mean not just in terms of the numbers of men and women, but you're also talking about pay equality. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. We know that in advanced economies, the difference in pay is 16%. You go in some countries, I was quite shocked, 37%. Wow. Well, this is in our hands to fix. And by the way, I myself, can I tell another personal
story?
Please
do, yeah.
So I'm hired by the bank. It's very interesting. The bank in 93 offers me a position as environmental economist. At that time, I wasn't sure whether I wanted to stay in Washington or go back in Bulgaria and teach. So I hesitated. The bank HR people thought I was negotiating. So they actually boosted my salary somewhat.
This is excellent.
That was the good news.
Right.
Bad news. I'm in my job, I do really well, but because I don't negotiate, I don't ask for salary increase at par with my performance, I don't even know there is such thing, I came from a non-market economy, I was held back year after year after year after year after year after year. Only when I became very senior at the bank, they did a review of my salary and did a correction. So my message to all the women here in the audience, do not ever accept to be paid less than your colleagues' men, ever.
A lot of what you've said today and in the past, your personal story of working harder and fighting against the obstacles you've had in front of you is so commendable. And and you're exhorting women to take charge of their situations. But let me flip all of that and ask you, what could men do better? Mm. I mean, what do you want to see from men? What is your advice for male leaders in terms of how they should do their jobs differently, and how do you make that happen?
Well, the amazing contribution of men that are not embarrassed to say, I am a feminist because I care about my daughters, I want them to be equal. I care about my mother, my wife, my female colleagues. This is what made actually a big a part of change that we are now seeing. People like Prime Minister Trudeau or President Macron, who actually mean it. It is not just a slogan. But also our colleagues every day that offer a helping hand and advice. We do need you to recognize there has been historical injustice, and that we are now at a point when we are correcting it. What it means for men is that you might see that all other things equal, we have a woman and a man, they're both great for the job, preference is given to the woman. Please don't look down at her. Your turn would come, plenty of opportunities. I think the best thing men can do is to be our soulmates and friends, and see that together we are so much stronger and better off. And also, please continue to be men. You know, nothing wrong if I'm dragging a big, huge, heavy suitcase right. for you to say, may I help you?
Yeah. On that note, please, a round of applause for Kristalina.
Thank you. Thank you. Ravi. Thank you.
That was Ravi Agrawal, editor of Foreign Policy Magazine, talking with IMF Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva during the IMF World Bank annual meetings. You can watch a webcast of their conversation at imf.org. And if you like this podcast, look for us on Spotify or on your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts and follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast.